bring the news. We bring it live. This is 101.9 Chai FM.
Good morning and welcome to the Gabbana Show, Body, Mind and Soul of Emunah. And it is so good to be with you this beautiful Wednesday morning, the 22nd of June 2016, the 16th of Sivan in the year 5776. And again, we are live from Swat. And Alon is co-hosting, or he's going to be sharing the show with me. And it's always such a pleasure to actually speak to Alon anytime. And it's just a special, special treat for the listeners, for my beloved listeners, to be able to hear the absolute words of wisdom. So for those that don't know Alon, it's Rabbi Alon Anover, who had a near-death experience, and his journey for the past 15 years as it's unfolded has been, it's been a monumental journey. And I've had the privilege of interviewing him a number of times on my show, and he just words of just such wisdom. There's things that I'm learning, there's things that the listeners are learning. The feedback that I get is just absolutely amazing. Anybody who's wanting to go to hear his story, you go to his website, www.alonanover.com, and you'll see his near-death experience, you'll see and you'll hear it. There are questions that people have. There's so many questions around this particular subject. And this morning, we are, so last week when Alon was with me on the show, we were talking about Sfat and the history of Sfat. We could speak literally hours and hours about the city, the holy city of Sfat. And then we spoke a little bit about the female energy of Sfat. And the female energy here is so powerful. And it definitely draws women to Sfat, and it's giving birth to something that needs to be revealed in this world. That's my feeling. I don't know very much. I try my best every week just to bring whatever I can, whether it's body, whether it's mind, and it seems to mainly be soul. And the city of Sfat definitely brings out the soul in me, and it's bringing out my name, Kavana. And when I started my show 3 years ago, the Kavana, it was K-A-B-A-N-A-H, was body, mind, and soul. It means body, mind, and soul in Spanish. And it's definitely progressed to Kavana, but much, much deeper dimensions of my name, of my show, and what it is that I want to share with my beloved listeners. So this morning, we want to speak about the month of Sivan. I know that we are into the 16th already of the month of Sivan. So yesterday was Tu B'Sivan, and there was full moon, and still the moon looked very, very beautiful and brilliant. And as I was doing research for the show, it was just absolutely mind-blowing, everything to do with Rosh Chodesh, everything to do with the way that we actually prepare ourselves for the new month, for the way that the month progresses, and you can see it physically, you can feel it emotionally, definitely, and physically pulls the tides, and us human beings are 90% water, so it definitely has a physical effect on us. And the Jewish people have been nominated and instructed to actually announce when that new month is. And that's extremely powerful. And so Alon is sitting together with me now.
Good morning.
So, good morning, Alon. It's so good to be with you again, and to share the show with you, and to just give my listeners such a treat in having you. I know it's been a regular now. You've got the summer break at the moment, and I'm really being a hug and taking advantage of it.
Baruch Hashem, it's my pleasure. My pleasure and my honor.
So thank you so much. So just the month of Sivan, there's so much to talk about in terms of what the astrological sign it controls, of the letter of the Hebrew alphabet, one of the 12 tribes, and the part of the body, the sense of the body, and of course the astrological sign, which when we were discussing what we were going to speak about, I mentioned to you that maybe we can speak a little bit about the twins, because there's just so much twinning in the month of Sivan. So over to you.
Well, you know, you mentioned before about the full moon. So yesterday morning, I was up, I think it was maybe 4:30 or 5 in the morning. And when the light started shining, then it was already daylight, but the moon was bright, bright. I have a picture, it's unbelievable. I had to take a picture of it because it was unbelievable. Because it was already daylight, and the moon was still shining very, very, very bright.
Oh, wow, I can see that.
I mean, the picture doesn't really do justice to that, but it was already daylight, probably it was like already past 5 in the morning, and the moon was shining full blast in the sky throughout the day. It was unbelievable.
Yes.
It was mamash, mamash unbelievable.
Yes.
And yesterday I had some out-of-town lectures. I was traveling the whole day. And same thing, I came back at 3 in the morning, and the moon was just, the position of the moon. I mean, the way you see the moon in Israel, it's unbelievable. Angle of the moon and the way it shines.
Yeah.
It's bemet unbelievable. And last week we spoke about Tzfat, and we mentioned that at the time of the Jewish court, when they used to decide when will be the moon, so they would wait for witnesses to come in to say when they saw the moon, valid witnesses. And once they would say, okay, today is Rosh Chodesh, in the beginning they used to light bonfires in 5 cities.
Yes.
And that's how all the cities used to know.
Okay.
And since Tzfat is one of the highest, if not the highest city at the time, in Israel, so Tzfat was one of the cities that they used to light the fire.
Yes.
And I could see from now why Tzfat would be decided to be one of the cities, because we're elevated, we're very, very high here.
Yes.
And then not only that, the angle of how you see the moon from here is unbelievable. It's really, really unbelievable.
Yes. So we just need to go to our first ad break, and we'll be back with you now.
To business. This is 101.9
IFR. Good morning and welcome to the Cabana Show, Body, Mind and Soul. And this morning I'm speaking together with Rabbi Alon Anava, and we're speaking about the month of Svat. We are
Sivan,
thank you. And we were talking about the fact that we've just passed the full moon, and Alon was just showing me during the break the absolutely amazing picture that he took of the moon in the bright sky. Amazing to see. So Alon, carry on. You were talking about
we talked about the moon and Tzfat being one of the cities that used to light the bonfires to give the notification. And I was just mentioning how I live on the top of the hill, and the angle here, how you see the moon is bemet unbelievable.
Yes.
And I wake up early to pray, and it starts shining already at 4:45 in the morning. We already have light.
Yes.
And this picture was probably about 5:30 in the morning, and I was shocked how the moon was so still shining, so powerful. So I had to just mention that because you talked about the full moon and the month and so forth. So the month of Sivan is a very, very special month. And it's considered by the lunar month, the third month. If we're counting the years from Tishrei, then it's the seventh month. But if you're counting it from Sivan, from Nisan, this is called the lunar month, then it's the third month. And Sivan is a special month because that's the month we got the Torah. Mm-hmm. That's the month that God came down to this world, which in itself is a very special month. And the Torah is called a Torah Meshuleshet. Meshuleshet means a triangle, but it's more coming from the word shalosh, three.
Yes.
That we see many times in the Torah, the repetition of the number three. We see three fathers, but so many different things in the Torah that we see that it comes in the number three.
Moses was even third born.
I'm third born.
Yeah, you thought third born. So, I'm second born.
So the Torah is called the Torah Meshuleshet because we see many times the repetition of the number three. Many people in the Jewish religion saying, oh, three is a very powerful number. So it is a powerful number because on the third month, that's when we got the Torah. And it's actually saying in the Torah, on the third day of the month.
Wow.
So it's talking about the third month. It's not mentioning the word Sivan,
yes,
but it's saying on the third month.
Yes.
It's talking about on the third day, meaning Tuesday. And it's talking about on the third day of the month, wow, meaning on the Gimel of Sivan. So we see another hint of the number three in correlation to the month of Sivan. But we also see in many places the hint in the month of Sivan for the number seven.
Yes.
Which again, the number seven in the Torah is also a very powerful number. 7 days of creations and the seven attributes and the many different things. And we see how the number seven constantly repeats itself. So there's a very big connection between the number seven and the number three of the month of Sivan. So Sivan is a very special month. Mainly because we got the Torah, and we'll go through a little bit some of the things that symbolize the month of Sivan. We know that every month it has a letter that represents it. So the letter of the month of Sivan is the letter Zayin, which is the seventh letter in the alphabet. Each month is representing one of the tribes. The Rizal says that the month of Sivan is represented by the tribe of Zebulun,
yes,
which is the only name that actually starts with the letter Zayin. And the Zayin is a very special letter because if you're looking at the Jewish letters, Zayin is the letter Vav with a little crown.
Yes, yes.
If you just picture yourself the letters.
Yes.
And not how you write it script, like
yes,
how you write. I mean, not how you write it with handwriting. I mean, how you the biblical letter Zayin. So it's a letter Vav, and then a little crown on it, a little chukchik on the top.
Yes.
And this crown represents that when we got the Torah in Har Sinai, Mount Sinai, each and every one of us got a crown.
Wow.
We actually got two crowns, wow, but then when we did the sin of the golden calf, then one of the crowns were taken. But this crown represents that each one of the Jews got a crown at the Ma'amad Har Sinai, the time that we stood in Mount Sinai. And that is the crown that we got at the time of the Torah. And this is one of the ways how we know that we know a lot of the times you see that we call the ladies the princesses, the daughter of a king, and we are children of the king.
Yes.
And a child of the king is worthy to wear a crown. And even in a spiritual level, we have a crown surrounding our head. This corresponding to the Ten Sefirot, that in the Ten Sefirot, it starts from the Sefira of Chochmah. But above the Sefira of Chochmah, there's the Sefira of Keter. And the one way of looking at the Sefirot is starting from the Sefira of Keter. Keter is a crown. I mean, if you're looking at the structure of the Sefirot, it will be Chochmah, Bina, and Daat, which
yes,
are the intellect, and then the seven attributes. And a lot of ways, a lot of times you can look at it that it's actually Keter, Chochmah, and Bina. And then Tiferet is just underneath the Keter.
Yes.
But the Keter is a crown, and spiritually we are carrying a crown over us, which is one of the many reasons why Hasidic and Orthodox men wear a hat, by the way.
Wow.
Because we wear a yarmulke for many, many different reasons. I mean, there's all the basic reasons of bringing on me God-fearing and symbolizing that something is above me, humbling myself, knowing that something is above me. Many different reasons why one can explain why we're wearing a yarmulke. But the mystical reason is because the Shekhinah, the godly revelation, the feminine part of the godly revelation is hovering over us.
Wow.
And it's actually considered chutzpah to walk what's called gilui rosh, with a bare head.
Yes.
And I cover my head to make a separation between me and the Shekhinah. This is mystically. So, of course, comes the question, why does girls don't wear a kippah?
Yes.
So the female soul manifests from the sphere of Malchut, which is the Shekhinah. So she doesn't need the separation between this godly revelation. A man is not coming from this sphere, that he has to have this separation. So we put it we put a yarmulke on.
Yes.
I mean, this is literally like a short explanation. There's much more depth into it. But we see that in many Hasidic sects and Orthodox sects, the men wear hats. So the mystical explanation to that, because a hat is called a or makif, a surrounding light, which it's basically, when I do a certain act in this world, I bring on me a certain energy.
Yes.
To explain it a little bit different, it's like if I want to carry something, let's say I want to carry 5 tons of bricks, then I need a truck.
Yes.
I need a big truck. Or if I want to carry a lot of sand or fuel, whatever it is, I have to put it in some type of a wagon. And the fact that I will have a very huge wagon or truck or however you want to explain it, then I can put something in it. So this is called Merkava. Merkava is like a wagon.
Chariot or something.
Yeah, chariot. Yeah. Actually, Merkava is also will be a chariot. I think more chariot will be more... also you can translate it as a chariot.
Okay.
But I can do...
Let's just go to our second break quickly and hold on to that thought.
According to applied logic, the more winners we have, the greater your chances of winning. So listen up for the next prize. It could be yours. 101.9 RFR. 101.9 megahertz of prizes.
The best part of your day. The heart of your community. All the talk. All the music. All the news. Hi FM.
Good morning and welcome to the Cabana Show, Body, Mind and Soul. And this morning I'm sitting together with Rabbi Alon Anova, and which is an absolute treat and an absolute treat for the listeners. I get such wonderful responses, and thank you. And anybody wanting to SMS, I'm able to access the SMS line on 34519 or even phone in on 074-654-7335, and the on-air email is onair@chaifm.com. So please, any questions that you have, share with us, any comments, we would love to hear from you. So Alon, just before the break, you were speaking about the month of Sivan and the letter Zion and the crown, and how we are supposed to walk around like we have crowns on our heads, to be proud.
Yeah, we do have crowns.
Yes.
I mean, spiritually, we are carrying a crown over us.
Yes.
Which actually, when chas v'shalom, a person does the wrong act or something against the Torah, the crown gets removed for 1 second. That's why it actually gets removed. But that's why you see, when you see a holy person, you see a very shine on the face, like a glow on the face.
Yes. You do.
So we are carrying crowns around us, and mainly because we are manifested from the 10 sefirot. And I started mentioning, this is literally on the edge of the fork. I don't even know if it's a term in English. In Hebrew, you say the edge of the fork when you want to express when it's not even in depth of the topic. But one of the many reasons why we wear hats is because I started explaining before how if you want to put like a big load, so you put it in a wagon. So this is what's called hamshacha. If I want to bring on myself a certain influence, a certain energy, a certain enlightenment, then I have to create a certain vessel. And one of the ways how I'm bringing on myself this godly revelation, then I cover my head as in a hat. And if you see, the hat's a circle.
Yes.
This is what's called, in the Kabbalistic terminology, O Makif, a surrounding light.
Yes.
I'm able to bring on myself, to dress on me this crown. So we are carrying these crowns on us. And the connection again to the month of Sivan is because we mentioned that if you're looking at the letter Vav, then add on that the letter Zayin. It's Zayin is the letter Vav with a little crown. Now, we mentioned that we got a crown at the time of the giving of the Torah. And crown in Hebrew is Keter.
Yes.
Amazingly, everything is amazing in the Torah, but amazingly, if you're looking at the amount of letters in the Ten Commandments, it's 620 letters.
Yes, yes.
620 letters is the numerical value of the word Keter.
Yes.
Crown.
Yes.
So we did get our crowns at the time of the Matan Torah. And I mean, nothing is by chance.
Yes.
in the Torah. We're going to get to it in a second. I want to talk a little bit about the tribe, but we'll see how it comes back to Keter. So the tribe of the month is the month of Zvulun. And you mentioned about before the horoscope, the sign.
Yes.
So the sign of the month is Teumim, is twins. So we see again a great connection to the month of twins. First of all, we see in the Torah many, many places about twins. And we know that a bride and groom,
yeah,
are considered a twin.
Yes.
And at the time of Matan Torah, that was a wedding. We got married with the master of the universe. He was the groom. We were called Knesset Israel. We are the bride. And the mountain was the chuppah, because we know that the Kadosh Baruch Hu turned the mountain upside down on us.
Yes.
The Torah was the ketubah.
Wow.
Excuse me.
Wow.
So we are also considered a bride and groom. Mm. And a bride and groom are twins. But we see many places in the Torah that, that we have twins. Starting with the giving of the Torah, we got two tablets.
Yes.
Like when you think of it, we could have gotten one tablet. Why do we need two?
Yes.
So we got twins.
Yes.
There's a reason why we got two tablets. We'll go to that in a few minutes. But we got twin tablets.
Yes.
Again, one might say, okay, we could have gotten one tablet with four commandments and one tablet with six commandments. But no, we got twins. So we see the great connection for twins to the month of the Sivan and the giving of the Torah. But in the Torah, we see many places twins. And the first time we find twins is Yaakov and Esav.
Mm-hmm.
Usually twins represent similarity.
Yes.
But these twins represent the opposite similarity. Like Yaakov is a righteous man and Esav is a wicked man. But these are the first twins in the Torah. And when Torah comes to tell us the story, first of all, the story happened.
Mm-hmm.
This is not like something invented.
Yes.
The actual story happened. This is what's called when Rashi says, "En mikra yotze midei pshuto." If it says in the Mikra, in the Torah, it happened. So don't think it's a fairy tale or an invention or a parable or something. It actually really happened. But when the Torah is talking about a twin, it's also teaching us. Now we know that Yaakov, later on his name became Israel.
Yes.
And we are called the sons of Israel, Bnei Israel. So in us, it's explained in the teaching of Hasidut that we have two levels in us. We have the level of a Yaakov, and we have the level of Israel. The level of Yaakov is a lower level in us. And you can separate the word Yud Akev. Yud is the letter Yud, and Akev is a heel. So the word Yaakov represents a lower level in us. The higher level of us is Israel. Israel, if you separate the words, is Li Rosh. To me, a head.
Yes.
So this is a high level in us that represents the word Yaakov. And the opposite of Yaakov was Esav. So Yaakov, we know, was a righteous man, and Esav was a wicked man. Yaakov represents the Yetzer Tov, the good inclination, and Esav is representing the Yetzer Hara, the bad inclination.
Yes.
It comes constantly to battle us.
Mm-hmm.
And we see in the Torah that when Rivka used to go through next to a synagogue, or it's not talking about a synagogue, it's talking about a yeshiva, yes. A Bet Midrash, then Yaakov would start moving around, yes, in the stomach and want to go
out. Excited, yes.
And then when she would go next to a place of idol worship, then Esav would start shaking in the stomach and want, yes, to go out. And that's why she got upset, and they didn't have ultrasound then, but she figured out that there's two kids. Then she went here, up here in the corner,
wow,
to the yeshiva of Shem and Ever again. We keep mentioning them. And, I mean, we talked about it last interview, and we mentioned that we're 50 meters away from the cave. So she went there, and Shem told her that, yes, you have twins, and one will be a righteous man, one will be a wicked man. And then he gave her a hint that we carry it up until today, and he told her, "Umileom leom yamatz," meaning when one will rise, the other one will fall. So when Yaakov rises, then Esav falls down. But when Esav rises, then Yaakov will be down.
Yes.
And up until now, we see that every time that the Jews, they rise up,
yes,
then our enemies fall down. And, yes, whenever our enemies are rising up, then we are in a much lower, yes, level. So the whole concept of twins in the Torah is representing the power in us, that we have a evil power and have a positive power.
Yes.
And they cannot be equal.
Mm-hmm.
Either one is in control, or either the other one is in control. Either my Yetzer Tov, my good inclination, is in power. So it means that the evil inclination is diminished and it's under control.
Yes.
But if my Yetzer Ra takes power and he rises, it can only be that he's in power, now my Yetzer Tov is low. And I constantly have this battle in me. Every human being has this battle between the good and the bad.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout your day, you probably meet this battle at least 150 times.
Sure.
Should I do this? Should I do that? Yes. Should I do good? Should I do, yes, bad? Can I do this mitzvah right now, or should I not do this mitzvah?
Yes.
Should I do this sin, chas v'shalom, or should I not do it? I mean, we don't have the actual battle in our mind where, yes, when we're really thinking about it. But sometimes we actually do. I mean, if you get to the point that you do think about it, that you're in a very good position. But in most cases, you meet situations that you're about to do something. Sometimes you do it without even thinking, which is a much lower level.
Mm.
But sometimes you do have this concept of thinking for 2-3 seconds. Should I do it? Should I not do it? Oh, I really want to do it. Then your Yetzer Tov says, no, it's not the right thing. So we constantly have this battle, and this is this concept of Leom Leom Yamatz, that one rises, the other one diminishes. And this is where we learn from the Torah that we have in us this power of the twins.
Yes.
And the twins represent here the good and the bad in us. And in anything that you're going to look at it, you'll see that we have the concept of this good and the bad. And I'm going to move to another topic, just because I know we always run out of time.
Yes.
Just want to cover a few things, and then we'll come back according to how much time we have. So we said that the month of the Sivan is represented by the tribe of Zvulun, and we know that the preceding month is presented by the month of Issachar.
Mm-hmm.
That's the month of Iyar.
Yes. I wonder how closely they were born. They were
one next to each other.
One right next to each
and
other.
And they were born right after the other.
Zvulun.
Yeah.
Yes.
There were Leah's children. Zvulun is a little bit older,
yes,
and then came Issachar.
Yes.
So they are in age very, very close to each other. Even in the Torah, in the order, they,
yes,
were born right after each other. But we know in the Torah that they had a business deal, Zvulun,
yes,
and Issachar.
Yes.
And the business, the agreement was that Zvulun would go and do business, and Issachar would sit and study Torah. Issachar was known to be a Torah scholar, and from his tribe came out 250 Sanhedraot, it's a Supreme Court.
Wow.
And the tribe of Issachar were known to be the scholars.
Yes.
So they made a deal, and they said, okay, Zvulun said, I'm going to go and make business, and you, Issachar, are going to sit in a tent and yeshiva and learn Torah all day long. I'll financially support you, and you give me half of your Torah,
yes,
in the world to come.
Yes.
And that's what they used to do. Zvulun used to do business. They had ships. I mean, that's in a much later time when they came into the land of Israel. But The deal was that Zvolun will be the financial supporter and Yisachar would be the scholar. And we even see that how they positioned all the tribes in Israel, that their position is right next to each other. So we see here a very strong connection, like twins, that these are the only time we see in the Torah that the brothers are very close to each other and connected. They're close to each other in age. They're close to each other in the physical position in the land of Israel. And they made this deal that it's like twins. I'll give you, you give me.
Yes.
And this great connection. In the mystical teaching of it, Zvulun comes from the sphere of Keter.
Yes.
That's where the connection that I said before that will come back to the sphere of Keter. So Zvulun comes from the sphere of Keter. And Yisachar comes from the sphere of Chochmah.
Mm.
And Chochmah gets its light and its energy from the sphere of Keter. It's right under Keter. If you're looking at the structure, then there's something, there's a term in Kabbalah that is called three lines, Shalosh Kavim. Before we mentioned again the number three and how the Torah is called Torah Meshuleshet, the Torah that comes in threes. If you're looking at the structure of the Sefirot, it has three lines.
Mm-hmm.
It has the right line, the left line, and the middle line. Kav Yamin, Kav Shmol, and Kav Chesed. The Kav Emtza, I'm sorry. So if you're looking at the structure of the Sefirot, then Keter is in the middle, then we'll come underneath it, Chochmah in the middle, then Tiferet will be in the middle, and then Bina will be in the middle, and Yesod and Malchut are in the middle. These are all the middle line. So Chochmah is right underneath Keter, which means that Chochmah is getting its energy and its light from the sphere of Keter, meaning that Yisachar was getting his energy, his influence from Zvulun.
Wow.
So we see an interesting concept here that the Torah got its power from the finance.
From the physical, yes.
Zvulun was presenting the physical and the finance and the money. And Yisachar, who was sitting and studying Torah all day long, had to be supported by Zvulun, the physical part of it, that physically he supported him, which a lot of people have a argument here. So the Torah needs the money, so let me go and work, and you see, you're dependent on us, all sorts of arguments coming up here. But if you turn it around, Zvulun will enjoy the Torah of Yisachar for eternity, not for 60, 70 years in this world. For eternity, he's getting the Torah. But we see an amazing combination here between the physical and the spiritual, that the physical actually feeds the spiritual in this world. It's an unbelievable combination that, again, when the month of Sivan, when we got the Torah, up until we got the Torah, the heavenly realm and the supreme realm and the lower world were separated. The earthly world was here. I mean, when Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov used to do mitzvot, there was no spirituality in them. I mean, they were in very high level. They didn't need it. But at the time of the giving of the Torah, we see that Moshe went up to the Torah, to the mountain, and God came down on the mountain. The concept is called Elyonim Yerdu LaTachtonim. The higher ones came down to the lower ones. V'tachtonim alu la'alyonim, and the lower ones came up to the higher ones, which was a combination of coming down on the mountain and going up to the mountain. This is when Hashem changed kivyachol the deal, and he says, up until now the spiritual world was separated from the physical world. Now I'm connecting the spiritual and the physical. Now you, in order to bring down spirituality into the world, you can only do it through the physical world. Which means if I want to bring godliness into the world, I have to put physical filling on my hand.
Mm-hmm.
I have to cover myself with a talis. I have to build a sukkah. I have to shake a lulav. All the mitzvot, I'm taking something physical, and with that, it becomes a tool to bring the spiritual into the world.
Yes.
And that changed in Matan Torah, that there was a combination, an exchange.
Yes.
And this is the combination, this is the exchange between Zvulun and Yisachar, that Zvulun says, I'm going to give you from mine, you're going to give me from yours. Which that manifests into our life, that the only way to have any successful relationship is a give and take. That I give you and you give me. If it's a husband and wife, there has to be a give and take. If it's a boss and an employer, a give and take. If it's a father and a child, a mother and a child, it's always give and take.
Yes.
If I'm missing this motion, in a relationship,
yes.
It will never succeed,
yes.
And it will only always will not work out.
Yes, and it creates a relationship, and also ties into the body part of the walking,
the legs,
and it's the left leg. Huh? Okay, so we need to go to our fourth break, and we'll be back with you now.
He is a rabbi, spiritual adventurer, teacher, speaker, writer, and author. He is proudly Jewish. He is Rabbi Ari Shishler, and he's exclusive to Chayaba. Join Rabbi Ari Shishler for Rosh Chodesh every Thursday from 2 to 3 p.m.
Good morning and welcome to the Cabana Show, Body, Mind and Soul. And I have the pleasure, absolute pleasure, of being with Rabbi Alon Anava together with me this week. And we are speaking about the month of Sivan. And Alon has just been explaining to us the relationship between Yisachar and Zevulun and how that relates to the relationship that was needed for the Torah to be actually expressed into this physical world. Because, as you said before, it was a very much physical. Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they did the mitzvot. It was very, very physical. However, when the Jewish people received the Torah, it became a relationship. The two met. And it's quite almost an oxymoron in that. How do the two coexist? But they do, and it's possible, and that transcendence is possible. And I think it's the Jewish people's, it's part of our mandate on this earth to actually do that and to show other people how to do that. So just getting back to Yisachar and Zevulun in terms of the place where the neshama came from of Zevulun was from the Keter, and then Yisachar was from Chochmah. And that combination, that twinning, it feels very, very, very deep to me, almost beyond words, to actually describe that kind of relationship. And that brought up, also it feels like it brought about a twinning, almost a Siamese twinning with Hashem.
Exactly.
Yes.
You know, you see another amazing connection with the whole twin. And I mentioned before that the tablets that we got are twins.
Yes.
And amazingly, we got two tablets. And each one of them is holding five of the commandments. The right tablet, the first five, is represented by Yaakov again.
Yes.
And the other five, the left tablet, is represented by Esav. If you're looking at the right tablets, it's more of a positive thing that you have to love Hashem and believe in Hashem and honor the Shabbat and honor your parents. It's a more of a positive action. If you're looking at the left tablet, the second twin, it's all the don'ts.
Don't
kill and don't steal. All the things that Esav represents, killing and stealing and committing adultery and lying. And there's constantly this relation between good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
There's constantly, you know, even in many other spiritual teachings, even the Chinese spiritual teaching, there's the whole concept of yin and yang.
Yes.
There's everywhere you look, there's constantly this relation, this cycle.
Yes.
Then one is a giver, one is a taker, and then it switches, one becomes the giver, and then the other one becomes the taker. Any normal relationship has to be with some type of a giving and taking motion. And that goes back again to the relationship between us and God. Essentially, He's the giver. He gave us life. He gave us everything. But we also, you know, we're taking. There's not even an option here. But we're also givers. We serve God. We build a place for Him in this world by following His Torah, by representing here Him, by us doing mitzvot. We're actually building a dwelling place for God in this world. This is the concept of mitzvah. A mitzvah, you can translate it as the word commandment. But mitzvah comes from the word tzavta. Tzavta means together, connection.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do a mitzvah, I become united with the master of the universe. Mm-hmm. People find it very hard to see the connection.
Mm-hmm.
Why do a piece of leather on my hand will connect me to God?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see the connection. Why, when I strike a match and I light a candle, it makes me spiritual. A lot of people, when they come to the religion, and they're like, you know, I think spirituality is to sitting on a mountain and meditating, or to I don't know what. I don't see anything spiritual in all those rituals that you are doing. But God decided that through these physical rituals and through the physical things that we use, that's how He's going to dress Himself in this world. So when a man puts tefillin on, God dresses Himself in a physical piece of leather. Don't try to understand it now. Maybe we can do one interview explaining why the physical and why it's getting dressed specifically in these things. Why dafka a black piece of leather? There's reasons for that. Nothing is invented here, and that somebody went in the street and fell on a piece of leather and said, hey, let's use that. So everything has meanings to it. But the point is that God decided how He's going to get dressed in this world through nature. And we are the emissaries that we do that. So we are activating this motion of you giving to me, I'm giving to you, I'm receiving, you taking, and so forth. And this relationship was magnified and mainly came to act at the time of the giving of the Torah.
Yes.
Because we were able to start sharing the spiritual and the physical. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they used to do all the mitzvot, but they didn't do it with the physical articles. I mean, they didn't shake a lulav. They used to do the exact same thing. Yaakov used to put tefillin on, but he didn't put it with leather straps. It says in the Torah how he put the sticks on his hand and tied them with a rope.
Wow.
So he did something similar, but in the spiritual realm, he was able to achieve the exact same thing.
Yes.
But once he finished with the sticks, what the Torah tells us is that he put 7 sticks on the hand, like tefillin, and then tied them with a rope on his hand. But once he finished, he threw the sticks to the garbage and they didn't have any holiness in it. It was back to being regular sticks.
Okay.
Now when I put tefillin on, I permeate the godly power into the piece of leather.
Yes.
So I have the power of actually taking something spiritual and dressing it into the physical. So when a woman takes flour and water, and puts it together, and makes dough, and bakes challah, and then she takes 10% of it, which is called maaser, and she takes it out. It is called hafrashat challah. This is one of the biggest mitzvahs a woman should do. All the blessing comes from that mitzvah. I know many women, they raise their eyebrows. What? I'm not a baker. It takes me 2 minutes to walk to the bakery. Why should I make my hands dirty? I'll just buy challah.
Yeah.
This is the biggest mitzvah of a woman. Women don't have many mitzvahs for many different reasons. And one of them is baking challah. And unfortunately, many women don't do it. And this is the source of all the blessings.
Mm-hmm.
But the woman takes a physical dough and she says a bracha. She says a blessing. She separates a little bit of the dough. And the whole ritual and the act, she permeates in the dough this unbelievable holiness. And then she gives it to her family, and everybody eats it, and it becomes one of you. So you basically dissecting, and you're putting in you something holy that has a holy power and a holy revelation in it. And this is this unbelievable relationship between the spiritual world and the physical world. But it's unfortunate that a lot of people look at the rituals and they're like, you know, the rituals don't look holy at all.
Mm.
Like, even if you look at all the jobs that they do in the temple and even in the tabernacle, it looks a little bit barbaric, you know, slaughtering animals, taking grains of wheat and throwing them on the fire. And all, if you really read all the jobs in the Beit HaMikdash, and they did it the same thing in the desert, in the tabernacle, there's not one thing that seems holy there. You know, stripping animals, cutting them to pieces, burning pieces of their organs, and all sorts of weird things, taking their blood, sprinkling the blood. I mean, it sounds pretty barbaric.
Yes.
It doesn't even sound holy. But the connection is that, first of all, God decides how he manifests himself into this world. We just don't understand it. It's almost like me. Sometimes I do certain things and my three-year-old will come and tell me, Abba, why are you doing that? Because for the three-year-old, it doesn't make sense. Yeah. And I tell him, because one day you'll understand.
Yeah.
So we don't understand God's wisdom. We try to, but we can't really relate to it. The reality is that we are in the relationship with God, that he's constantly giving us life, and we giving him the mitzvot that he wants us to do. We're doing it, and we're creating a space for him in this world. So we constantly see this relationship of giving and taking, which is built and getting the power in the month of Sivan, that we got the Torah. It's kind of like you said before, where God made us twins, in mm-hmm. some way to say. I mean, we can't call ourselves twins to the master of the universe,
mm-hmm.
but there is this connection, this unity, this duplication, so to say. But mainly what one wants to take from this month, you mentioned before that the body part corresponding to the month is the leg, the left leg.
Yes.
And the left leg represents a lot of things. You know, somebody not too long asked me, because I told him the story about Yaakov and the angel that were fighting, and the angel grabbed his leg and hurt him. So somebody not too long asked me, which leg was it?
Yes.
Told him it was the left leg.
The left leg, wow.
It was the left leg, and there's the reason for that, because all the dinim, the judgments, come from the left leg.
Yes.
And this is the month that the part of the body that represents this is the left leg, which means because we got the Torah with a lot of judgments. It came down in judgments.
Yes.
But the power of the month is actually the power that of building relationships.
Okay.
And in building a relationship, it's only with the motion of walking, the motion of movement. You can't build a relationship by sitting and not doing nothing.
Yes.
Relationship has to be worked on. Like a leg that is moving the body, a relationship constantly has to move and be in a motion of walking.
Okay, so with that left foot forward, we're going to go to our last break. We'll be back with you now. Good morning. This is the Cabana Show, Body, Mind and Soul of Emunah. And it is so good to be with you this Wednesday morning, the 16th of Sivan, and we are speaking about Sivan. Rabbi Alon Anava is together with me, and we've discussed many aspects of the month of Sivan. And just before the break, we spoke about the left leg, and that everything to do with Torah requires movement. And I was just thinking that the word halacha and halachet, to actually walk, are absolutely connected.
Exactly.
You can't do the one without the other. So we are in the movement of doing Hashem's will, and this month is very, very, very powerful to bring that about, to bring that transcendence, to really allow yourself to go into that and be with that energy, that transcendent energy. So Alon, just in wrapping up, if we just look at the walking, and I was the month of Nisan, which is when we came out of Egypt, is the sense of speaking, and when people say, you know, he walks his talk, yes. That we need to walk our talk, eh?
Yeah. And then they say in America, I don't know how they say it in South Africa, you talk the talk, but can you walk the walk?
Yes.
The talking is one thing, but now let's see you walking. So, yeah, this is the whole thing, that there's a very big difference from theory and practical, and actually doing.
Yes.
Thinking of something, I know many people, I know this individual that tells me, oh, one day I'm going to keep Shabbat, and I'm going to do all the mitzvot. Well, you'll see. One day I'm going to do it.
He probably will.
So he's still in theory mode. I told him, no, the Torah is doing.
Yes.
This is called the world of doing. Olam Asiyah. Yes. We're not talking. This is not the world of dibur, of talking. Yes. Here Hashem tells you, do. Don't talk. Even our sages say, Hamaseh hu haikav. Doing is the main part. Talking and thinking and contemplating, that's very nice. But we came here to do. And what represents doing is the legs. The legs are the doers. They don't think. Legs don't think.
No, they don't think.
They just walk. And they carry the body, and they carry the body, I mean the mind, the head is, you would think, the most important part of the body, but the head cannot move anywhere without legs. Mm-hmm. The motion of halicha, exactly how you said, to walk means halicha, halechet.
Yes.
And halacha, oral law, yes, is right, exactly the same. Mm-hmm. That the point is that the Torah is constantly has to be in a motion of walking. Walking and growing, and if I'm today standing in one position, tomorrow I have to be better than yesterday. Mm-hmm. And the next day I have to be even better from the day before. The point is to take it in a level, in a motion of walking. But one important thing to learn from that is that this is the month of building relationships, and it has the power of building relationship. The basics of relationship is, first of all, be a giver. Don't be a taker.
Okay.
If you're going to be in a constant emotion of taking, then you're not going to create a space of even giving.
Yes.
The healthiest way is first you give, because if you give, you make space to actually take. And this is a very powerful time, yes, a month to concentrate on relationships. And unfortunately, couples or any type of relationships, mm, that are having difficulties, mm, that's a good month to sit down and say, okay, let's try to negotiate here. Let's see where we can bridge between us.
Yes.
So this is a month, I mean, we don't have much time left. We have another 14 days, but it's a very powerful month. This is the power, one of the many powers of the month, of building relationships and exchanging, so to say, information and energy.
Yes.
And one should take that and concentrate and to tap into this power, that if you build this this closeness, this relationship, which we're, you know, our whole life is based on relationships. Mm-hmm. We had an interview a few months ago. Mm-hmm. Why do we need relationships?
Yes.
But when I actually empower this motion of a relationship, that's when I'm really worthy for the crown.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I break relationships and I create anger and hate and fighting, this is called, I'm creating a separation. It's the opposite of a twin. The twin usually represents the connection, the unity. So if I want to get this crown, then it only can be with unity. And we see when they got the Torah, they got it with unity.
Yes.
They got it only because they were united.
Yes.
So B'ezrat Hashem, we should all look into our own life and see how I can unite worlds, and how I can, instead of colliding worlds, and how instead of separating worlds and relationships, how can I can unite them? And B'ezrat Hashem, with that, we'll merit to get again the second Torah, which is the Torah of Mashiach.
Amen, amen. And it seems like, do you think it falls a lot on, I was listening to one of your talks on women's role in a relationship, and it had to do with the mitzvahs of the woman. And I think the question the lady asked was, she feels that she's a little bit more advanced, spiritually more advanced, and than her husband, and how to actually get that balance, how to get, because it's, as you say, a relationship, and how to, and women have that ability to really delve into the relationship and to build it.
Yeah.
And so
by default, women are more. By default, women are much more. First of all, they're much more holier, so they have more ability to tap into that realm and bring it down into the world. I mean, women, in essence, are much more special than men. I think we should definitely dedicate, yes, one class for that.
Okay.
But the women have a much more special power. And in essence, when you're looking at it, a smart woman can actually balance the relationship much faster than a man. Because men are more physical, they're much more immature. I'm apologizing already to the male listeners. I'm also one. But women are much more mature, they're much more centered, they're much more holier. They have the power of actually, if they're smart, of creating that relationship, that it will be much more smooth and better. Mm. Definitely.
Yes. So thank you so much, Alon. And to my beloved listeners, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being there. Thank you so much for all the messaging. And Baruch Hashem, we look forward to next week. I hope Alon's available.
Yeah, we booked the whole summer.
We booked the summer, and it's really summer here. So with that, it just remains for me to say, have the most beautiful Wednesday, the most beautiful rest of the week, and the most beautiful Shabbos, and to build your relationships, to build your relationship with yourself, to build your relationship with everybody around you in any way. That's the reason that people are put into your life, is only to build your relationships and to build your relationship with Hashem. So with that, until next week, from Cabana, bye-bye.
We bring the news. We bring it live. This is 101.9 High FM.